You're about to listen to a message from Peace Church in Middleville, Michigan. Feel free to share this content broadly, but please don't alter it in any way without our permission. We pray that you're convicted, comforted, and commissioned by the preaching of God's word.
This morning, we're focusing in on another one of the classic Christmas songs that we've sung year to year to year. And I hope you guys have been enjoying this series. It's been fun kind of looking a little deeper into some of these songs that we've been singing over the years. Didn't Pastor Ken do a great job last week? We're really blessed with a great team here at Peace Church. I'm just so grateful to get to work with guys like Ken. What a blessing. This week, we're looking at another one of these Christmas hymns. And the hymn that we're looking at, "O Come All You Faithful," I look at it and I say, this is one of those songs that is trying to kind of generate a buzz. It's a song that's saying, you want to know what's going on. And the passage that we're going to look at this morning does the exact same thing. We're going to be looking at the hymn, "O Come All Ye Faithful," this morning. And as we do, we're going to unpack it by looking first at Luke chapter 2. Last week, Pastor Ken unfolded the song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," and he looked at Luke chapter 2 and the story of the angels coming and singing. This morning, we're going to ask the question, what happened next? So open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 15. Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can look at the seat racks there in front of you. There are plenty of Bibles there, and we're on page 1090 in those Bibles. Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." This morning, we're going to be unpacking this passage of Scripture and this great song of the faith, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." As we do, this is what we're going to see, that faith is a response to revelation, leading us to worship and witness. Would you say that with me? Faith is a response to revelation, leading us to worship and witness. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you so much for your word this morning, God. We want to thank you for the truth and the beauty of your word. God, we thank you for how your word penetrates our hearts, reveals your very truth to us, enlightens our minds, and provides for us a way to live. God, we want to thank you for how your word over the centuries has touched the hearts of people, has inspired them to write beautiful music. Lord, to offer up their songs in service to you, and their hands and their fingers, Lord, in service to you as they play instruments, as we just heard, Lord. And Father, this morning we want to offer up this time to you and offer up our hearts and minds to you. And we want to ask you to show us what you would have us see this morning, Lord. Lord, help us to be a community of faith that responds to you with worship and witness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So faith is a response to revelation, leading us to worship and to witness. We're going to see that that's true both in the passage that we just read and in the song that was inspired by the passage we just read. I want to look at three things from the text this morning. First of all, faith responds to revelation. Would you say that with me? Faith responds to revelation. Look at verses 15 and 16. We're picking up midstream through the action, right? The angels have come and they've shocked this group of shepherds who were sitting out on a hillside in the middle of the night. And suddenly, out of nowhere, the night explodes with light and the song of angels. And the shepherds see them, and the angels say, "You need to go and see this child." And we pick up in verse 15. "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another," stop. What are some of the things they could have said to each other in that moment? Think about it just for a second. What are some of the things the shepherds could have said to one another in the moment that those shepherds disappear? Like, What did you put in that stew? I got to get some more sleep. That was weird. I mean, think of all the different things the shepherds in that moment could have said. Friends, what are all the different things that sometimes we say in response to God's revelation in our hearts and in our lives? Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I'll put it off for now. Maybe it's something I can take care of another time. Boy, that's good truth for that person over there. God is revealing himself to us on a regular basis. The question is, do we respond in faith? That's exactly what the shepherds do. I love what we see from them. They say, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. A few things. First of all, they say, let us go. How many of you know you need other people with you if you want to respond in faith? That's why we do this thing called church on a regular basis, because we are a community of faith who together are responding to God's revelation. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. They hear the message of the angels, and faith responds and gets up and starts moving because faith trusts in the word. Right? They trust in the word that has been delivered to them. They don't say this thing that might have happened or this thing that possibly potentially happened. Let's go over like scientific skeptics and investigate what's really going on here. No. These guys have faith. They've heard the message. They believe the message. They know that it's true, and they want to go and see what is true. How do you respond when revelation comes? Do you respond with kind of the sit back skeptical, I don't know, we'll see? Or do you say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Yes, Lord, I want to walk in the path of righteousness that you lay out for me. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Again, brothers and sisters, we think of this night with the shepherds as being some crazy, abnormal thing. And it was. I mean, you know, I don't know about you. I've never seen the sky explode with angels. But brothers and sisters, if you go to church on Sunday and you hear the word preached, how many of you know revelation's happening? If you wake up in the morning and you open God's word, how many of you know revelation is happening? If you get in your car and you drive and you just happen to notice this world around you, handcrafted by a God of glory and beauty and majesty, how many of you know revelation is happening? If you walk up to the edge of a decision and it's not the right decision, and it's something in your heart whispers, you can't do that. How many of you know revelation is happening? God is not silent in the heavens. God is screaming to us every day. He's shouting to us and speaking to us every day. He is revealing himself to us every day. Friends, we don't live in a world that's devoid of revelation, where you have to look carefully and turn over rocks to discover whether or not God has something to say. In fact, God is speaking to us all the time. His voice rings around us in every step we take through our lives and through our existence. The real question is, what will we do with the revelation? Faith responds to revelation. So we see the shepherds, they get up and they move. They move into concrete action. Second thing we want to see, friends, faith makes sight possible. Would you say that with me? Faith makes sight possible. We must believe if we want to see. Verse 16, they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. I remember when I was a kid, watching some of those old TV specials when all the famous rock stars would get up and sing different Christmas carols. They still do it today, right? I mean, you hear some of these, all these different people who half the time, or I should say 90% of the time, are singing about, well, things that I can't repeat from the pulpit, right, from the front of the auditorium. And then all of a sudden, they're singing sweet hymns of grace and glorious praises raise thee, right? I mean, suddenly they're singing about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, and they're singing about the Christ child. I can remember David Bowie. I don't know why David Bowie. I thought he was an interesting guy. I can still remember David Bowie getting up and singing Little Drummer Boy when I was just a little guy watching. And I remember watching all these people singing, and I said to my parents, I'm like, you know, I didn't know that all these people were Christians. And that's when I learned that You can say something and you can sing something, you don't necessarily believe something. What's the difference between the shepherds coming and just seeing another baby and the shepherds coming and seeing the Son of God, Christ the Lord? What was the X factor that defined the difference between those two different kinds of experiences? One word. Say it with me. Faith, right? Faith made all the difference. If we go through our lives and we don't see our lives through the eyes of faith, then we will not understand, we will not see, we will not behold the truth that God wishes to present to us. Those shepherds could have gone that night as skeptics, and guess what they would have seen? Just another baby boy. They would have missed the moment of revelation because they did not come with hearts of faith. I got my first set of glasses when I was about 12 years old, and I got them because I had been at a baseball game, a little league baseball game, and my game had was not going to start for a while, so one of the ladies let me up. It was a small town. She let me up into the score box, and I got to sit in the score box, and she let me change the score on the scoreboard. This was back in the days when all of life centered around Little League. It's not quite the same as it used to be, is it? All of life in this little southern Delaware town centered on Little League. I mean, people came from all over the place to watch, you know, 12-year-olds play baseball, which just blows my mind. But I was sitting there in the scoreboard, I mean, in the booth, moving the scoreboard, and the lady who was sitting next to me, who looked just ancient, I think she was like 45 maybe, she would, you know, looking back, it's true. She looks over at me and she sees me and I'm doing this. She says, "Do you have to squint to read the scoreboard?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "Here, try these." And she hands me her glasses. I put them on. I'm like, "Oh my goodness." We go and get glasses, and I can still remember getting the prescription and then going and getting my glasses and getting them fitted. And driving home for the first time, I realized that trees weren't just green blobs on brown sticks. That you could really see the leaves. I mean, it really was like this. I mean, I'm like on the edge of legally blind. I couldn't believe how beautiful the world was because I was looking at it through these lenses that corrected my vision. Friends, there are people who walk through all of life. There are sadly Christians who walk through much of their life. And because they don't allow the truth of revelation to define for them the vision of their life, because they don't look at their life with faith in the Word of God, with faith in revelation, they cannot see all that God has for them. Revelation whispers to us and says, "Open your eyes of faith. Open your eyes of faith, and the light of truth will reveal to you worlds yet unknown." And that's what these shepherds see as they come before. They don't just see a baby. When they saw it, when they saw the child, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. In other words, if you want to understand who the child is, you need to understand the child in light of the revelation that's been given, just as it is with our lives. Friends, we live in a world that says, you know, if you show me, then I'll believe. Scripture says, if you believe, then I'll show you. Then I'll show you. Number three, faith leads to witness. Would you say that with me? Faith leads to witness. Faith leads to witness. I just love these shepherds, man. I love the fact that the Lord chose a group of guys who would have been considered perpetually ritually unclean. Because shepherds, the nature of the work that shepherds did in the Jewish culture of their day, they would have been considered people who were perpetually unclean, ritually unclean. In other words, they were low on the totem pole. Not only were they guys who couldn't get a better job, why would you want to be a shepherd? It's about the worst job you could have. That was kind of the mentality in that day. Why would you want a job that puts you in a place of perpetual ritual uncleanness? And yet these are the very guys that the Lord chooses and says, "I'm going to start my heavenly kingdom of God marketing campaign with these guys right here." And he reaches out and he chooses them and says, "I'm going to start the Great Commission right here with these dudes who look completely and totally unworthy of it." And we see what happens as they come into the presence of God. Everybody heard it, wondered what the shepherds told them. And then we read about what the shepherds do in response. The shepherds, verse 20, returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. In other words, worship and witness were the natural response of these shepherds to what God had done in their lives. And that's the spirit that pervades the song that we sang this morning, the song that we're looking at this morning, O Come All Ye Faithful. O Come All Ye Faithful is really, I think of it as the shepherd's song. It's the song of those who have beheld the Lord and they want others to come and behold him with them. In fact, what you see as you walk through this song is kind of this progression. The song, O Come All Ye Faithful, walks through these four different stanzas, and each stanza takes us closer and closer to what we just talked about, what is the ultimate culmination of faith, which is beholding the Lord. So stanza one talks about invitation. There's an invitation to come. We're going to look at all these in more detail in just a second. Stanza two is a declaration of what we should expect to see when we come. Stanza three is exaltation. It's a recognition of what stands at the heart of reality. And stanza number four takes us into adoration. Let's break it down and look at each of these different stanzas in this beautiful song. Stanza one is this invitation, an invitation. There's this almost sense of the shepherds having come and seen Jesus, and then they go out and they say, okay, everybody, you come with me. And the song says, oh, come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a Hebrew word that means house of bread. What did Jesus call himself? The bread of life, right? Come and find satisfaction for your souls, right? Oh, come all you. There's three things that you need to have if you want to come. And the song says this should be characterize us as we come. First of all, that we're faithful. We're people who are coming with eyes of faith to behold him. Secondly, we're joyful. How many of you know that's not always easy in the world that we live in, to maintain a spirit of joy and a spirit of joy in the Lord. And finally, triumphant. So come to Jesus, come to this one who lies in the manger, come faithful, come joyful, come triumphant. Anybody feel defeated this morning? Anybody ever go through a week recently where you felt defeated? Anybody go through a week recently where something you were hoping for did not happen? Or something you were expecting fell through? How can in moments like those we have a spirit that is nevertheless, triumphant? Well, we have to see who we're coming to see. Come and behold him born, say it with me, the King of angels. We can exalt, we can have joy, we can have a sense of triumph because we understand and we know who it is that we're coming to see. We're coming to see the King, and when we see the King of kings and the Lord of lords, we can have a spirit of triumph. And so we can walk through our days with a spirit of defeat or a spirit of triumph. And the difference will entirely hang on whether we approach with faith in the King that we sing about on Christmas Day. Born the King of angels. Second verse is a verse of declaration. God of God, light of light, eternal. Why don't you say these words with me? Let's speak them together instead of just singing them. Let's start at the beginning. God of God, light of light eternal, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Son of the Father, begotten, not created. Now, do you speak that way in your normal life? When's the last time you used the word begotten? Or begotten? Or lo? Lo, there's a problem on the horizon. Lo, it's snowing a lot outside. We just don't do that very much, do we? Lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. You look at this text, and what you see in this text is the power of good music, of good songs, to help craft and shape our theology and to help us conform our hearts and our minds and our imaginations with truth. In fact, the words that are being sung here are declaring for us something that Pastor Ken, if you were here last week, Pastor Ken in a powerful way touched on, the doctrine of the incarnation. I loved how he helped us remember what is that incarnation means. It comes from a Latin word, in two words actually, incarne. Carne means, anybody remember what he said it means? Meat, right? Chili con carne, chili with meat. Flesh is what that carne means. So incarnation is the doctrine that the eternal God took on human flesh. He took on a true human nature. Two natures, one person, fully divine, fully human, in one God. Now many of us, if we grew up especially in the church, we just kind of take these doctrines for granted. If you went to seminary, they just roll off your tongue like music. But for the church, if you look at the history of the church, you realize something. People had to fight for these doctrines. People had to die for these doctrines. In fact, if you look at the history of the church, the first 400 years of the church was a struggle for the people of God not to give in to forces from within and sometimes from without that tried to get the church to compromise its beliefs. In fact, that's one of the dramatic stories of the early church that we often don't get a chance to talk about from the pulpit, but I get to today, so that's kind of cool, isn't it? This amazing idea that God preserved his church and has preserved his church throughout history from attacks that came from without, but also from attacks that came from within. Christianity was making a bold and in many people's minds, an insane declaration about the very nature of God and the nature of reality. From the Jewish standpoint, there's no way that God, the God that we worship, the God who is one, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, he is one. There's no way that God could take on the form of a child. There's no way that single God could have a son. So from the Jewish standpoint, it was crazy. From the Hebrew standpoint, this idea that there's just one God who is three persons, well, that just doesn't make sense. There's no way that can be the case. And so there were attacks that were coming all the time into the church. And over the first four centuries of the church, they stood strong and they stood firm. And in fact, what we're singing here are words that come directly from one of the earliest important creeds of the church called the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed was an ecumenical creed that's accepted today by all Christian churches. Again, it's one of those things we take for granted. Why? Because it's been around for a long time. It was formulated at the First Council of Nicaea in AD 325. Wouldn't it be cool to have a picture of yourself made like this someday? Some of you guys out there, you got the beards for it. You're getting there. This is a picture of the church fathers who were involved in that council of Nicaea. That was the very place where people said, no, it's not good enough to think that Jesus was like a super angel. Jesus wasn't just another angel that was created. No. Jesus is God in human flesh, contra the Arians. And on the other hand, they were saying, no, it's not enough to say that Jesus just looked like a human, that he appeared to be human, but in fact he was really just divine, contra the Docetists. The early church said, no, we need to be really clear. What are we talking about when we come to this manger and we worship this child? What are we talking about? And so they formulated this at the First Council of Nicaea, and it fought against the idea that Jesus was not fully God and also the idea that he was not fully human. I want us to together speak the words, not of the entire Nicene Creed, but part of it together that's relevant to this song. So let's say these words together. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. Boy, isn't that powerful? Can you hear where the song comes from? I mean, the song is literally quoting directly from this creed that goes back to 325 AD, this creed that on one hand clearly guards the deity of Jesus Christ. He's God from God. He's light from light. He's begotten. He's not created. He is the eternal God. And yet, on the other hand, clearly wants to emphasize his real humanity because he was born. He became incarnate. He took on flesh from the Virgin Mary and was made man. Pretty cool, huh? When we sing that simple verse, we're joining with believers through the ages, some who fought, some who died, to preserve the words that we sing, the words that are the center of our salvation. Next one. So we move from an invitation to a declaration about him, now to exaltation. Oh, sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all you bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Friends, what is most real about this world? What's most real about this world? Is it the bills that you have waiting on your desk when you get home to pay? Is it the meal that's waiting to be eaten? Is it the job that you have to get up for on Sunday? Is it the family that you're going to see when you go home today? What are the things that are most real to you in this world? I would posit the things that are most real are those things that will last forever. And in this moment, we see what is the defining reality of all eternity. We're taken to this moment in the song where Jesus is surrounded by choirs of angels. And it's referring to what happens earlier in Luke chapter 2, right? Where the angels sing to the shepherds. But how many of you know that angel song to the shepherd was kind of like the intro song for worship that's happening all the time? In fact, if you look in the book of Revelation, we get a picture of what is happening right here and now. You know, we come to worship on Sunday mornings and we're like, I'm gonna go worship the Lord. Hopefully that's what you're coming on the drive here thinking about. On your drive here, you're thinking, I'm gonna go worship the Lord. And we worship the Lord and we take an hour and 15 minutes, sometimes an hour and 20 minutes, and we worship the Lord together, and then we go back and we go to the normal rhythm of our lives. Friends, when we come in to this place to worship the Lord, we are coming in to the stream of eternity and what is happening right now and is happening whether we're singing or not. It's this beautiful picture. And in Revelation chapter 5, we're given this incredible picture of what it looks like to worship the Son of God. We read about the Lamb of God who is coming forward, and God the Father is revealing his purposes for humanity. And symbolized in this idea of a scroll, and we're told that Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, is the one who's worthy to take the scroll. And I want you to just, for a second, look at the words we sing about choirs of angels singing in exaltation and singing all ye bright hosts of heaven. I want you to think about those words as we read these words from the book of Revelation. Verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, that's Jesus, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. In other words, when we pray, guys, guess what? We're part of this heavenly worship around the throne of God. Our prayers are part of that worship service. Think about that. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I'm going to get excited. You better just be careful. I'm about to get excited. Which are the prayers of the saints. When we take part in worship every Sunday, we're contributing to what's happening right now around the throne of God. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. That song doesn't rhyme, but it's a pretty powerful song, isn't it? It's a song about what Jesus has done that makes him worthy to be the Lord of history. And what makes him worthy to be the Lord of history is that through his own blood, he made a way that for us to be reconciled to God. And that's the substance of the song that the angels are singing about. That's what makes him glorious, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. They're talking about us, brothers and sisters. Then I looked and heard around the throne. So there's this sense of concentric circles, okay? There's the throne, and there's the Lamb, and there's the four living creatures, and there's the 24 elders. And now a further circle out, and we read this. There were living creatures and the elders, and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Everyone say, "Worthy is the Lamb." The child in the manger is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Sing, choirs of angels. Sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye bright hosts. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God. Glory in the highest. The invitation that we are being given in this song is an invitation to join in that eternal song, to join our voices with the voices that right now are singing glory to God in the highest, that are singing worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So we've walked through this, the song of O Come All Ye Faithful, and we see that there's an invitation. We see that there is a declaration about the nature of this baby that we're going to see. We see that there's an exaltation, that this child that we see in human form is also the God who is at the center of worship that lasts through eternity. And then we're given something that's just amazing. We move from exaltation to actual adoration. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Notice the change of tense here, the change of the person of address. We go from addressing each other and addressing the world to who are we now addressing? The Lord himself, right? So we go from speaking about Jesus to speaking to Jesus. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given, word of the Father now in flesh appearing. See, we kind of recap everything that we've been talking about, only now instead of speaking to others about him or having people say, come worship him, and these are all the truths about him, now we ourselves have come before him, and we go from speaking about him to speaking to him. We come from simply believing truths about him to beholding him ourselves. Listen, believer, this is the point and the culmination of your faith. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, the Lord wants to do more than fill your mind with truth, though he does. He wants you to do more than participate in religious tradition, though that, I think, is important. He wants you to move from believing things about Jesus to actually beholding him in his beauty. Beholding him in his glory, to seeing who he really is. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Is the birth of Jesus Christ something that births hope and joy and triumph in your heart today? Come behold the wondrous mystery. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Do you see the glory of the one that we come to worship? The offer of faith is that you can. You can come and you can behold him. And that's what we're here to do every day. That's what we're here to do every Sunday when we gather in the presence of the Lord. Christian, I would encourage you to live into the hope that is ours. That we can go from speaking about this amazing God to speaking to him, beholding his beauty and his majesty. May this year be a year where we do that very thing. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for the different sound waves that you send out of truth into our lives. The beauty of creation, the inspiration that comes through song and music. Lord, the clear signal of your word into our souls and lives. Lord, my prayer for myself and for this church, my friends and brothers and sisters in faith, Lord, my prayer is that we could be a community of people who not only speak about you, Lord, but speak to you, who not only believe the truth about you, but who behold you. Lord, we long to live lives that please you. And we long to experience the pleasure of knowing you. We ask that you would continue by your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. And Lord, as we come and see you and taste and see that you're good, Lord, we pray that we, like the shepherds, would go out and witness into a world that desperately needs to know that what we have is real, it's true. We pray that you would do these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.